Hello again, friends. I never know how to address you guys. That's in my head every time I start a podcast so far. I think I called you internet friends a couple times, and that didn't feel right because we meet up on the internet, but we're friends in real life. This isn't just some internet friendship. This is real stuff. So I might just start calling you guys friends, if that's okay with you. We need to have a define the relationship and really talk this thing out. My name is Anthony Russo. Some of you may know me as The Bible is Funny on Instagram, at The Bible is Funny. That's an account I run. I am recording this podcast in my house. My kids are asleep. My dog Penny is licking her feet on the couch and making big old puddles everywhere. She does this on our couch, no matter how much we try to stop it. And my wife, Rachel, as always, joins us. Today, she is getting the schedule ready for the kids tomorrow. We are, as many of you are, in the middle of this COVID-19 situation. So we've got the kids at home all day with us every day. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, if you missed that first episode. So she's planning out the day. You have to plan out the day. Otherwise, you can get through a couple days where you don't have a plan and just sort of make it. But man, we're on like, as of the recording of this podcast, we're going into week 4 of this whole thing. And it's just dragging along, man. It is dragging along. And I know that that's the same for everybody. Everybody everywhere. Speaking of coming up with a plan, what a smooth transition. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about plans. And we're going to start in Genesis 12. Genesis 12. This is the story of Abraham and Sarah. This is one of my faves. They're all some of my faves. That's why they're on the podcast. But this is definitely one of my favorites. And when I started this project, it was one very early on that I had marked, like, this story is so funny to me. And it's just so funny. So starting in Genesis 12, we're starting in verse 10. Genesis 12, verse 10. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Right from the start, you gotta love the first words out of his mouth in verse 11 to Sarai. I think it's Sarai. Sorry if I pronounce names wrong. I know what a beautiful woman you are. That is just such a start. Generally, if there is something, here's what I'll say. If there's something that comes after that statement, the husband is not about to unroll a good idea. I feel confident saying that. A husband saying to their wife, a boyfriend saying to their girlfriend, anybody complimenting anybody, you just come out and say, you know what? You're beautiful. And you leave it there. That is lovely, and that should be done. When you're starting it with, you know, let me just tell you, I know how beautiful you are, and because of that, stop, cut it. This is going nowhere good. You could just tell them they're beautiful, and then that's a nice way to. It's a nice thing to say. But he continues on. I know what a beautiful woman you are, man. You're so pretty. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they'll let you live. And I think the assumption here is they're going to kill Abraham so they can take Sarah, not just for no reason. So he's saying, they'll kill me, but they'll let you live. So say you're my sister so that I'll be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. And here's what's so great about this plan. That Abram in this moment kicks up. I always feel like Abram to Abraham is like that Louisville. Have you ever been? It makes you, if you read those names close enough, you start to think you're never saying it right. Like Louisville, you say Louisville, and then someone's like, no, it's Louisville. And like you added the syllable. So now I'm in this place with Abram and Abraham. Abram. In this moment, he's Abram. The Egyptians see you, they'll say, this is his wife. And then they're going to kill me, and they're going to let you live, and they're going to take you. If you're Sarai, hearing this plan cooked up, I imagine you got to think to yourself, like, okay, great. So now, if you say I'm your sister, they're not going to kill you. But like, how does this stop me from being taken? This almost just makes me like more easy to take. It seems like what you've done here is make me more takeable. This is like the shortest, worst version of the Liam Neeson movies. You just did everything backwards. You did it all wrong. You made Sarah more takeable. And spoiler alert, she gets taken. She gets taken like pretty much immediately right after this. This is verse 14. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. Verse 15. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. The plan falls apart right away. Or kind of, I guess it kind of falls apart, because verse 16, he treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants and camels. So, like, the plan essentially works to perfection. We just never factored in Sarah not being taken in the process. Like, it wasn't factored in for a second. It was, well, Abram thinking, I'll be treated well. I get to stay alive, and let's stop there, and we'll pick this up later. We'll talk about your role in this another time. So, story plays out then. You can read the rest of it, but the Lord inflicts serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife, Sarai. That's verse 17. So, Pharaoh kind of figures it out. And they get it all sorted out. But what it is so funny that this is the plan he comes up with. And what's even funnier to me about this story is what really elevates this story from like, oh, maybe there's like cultural context I don't really understand. Abraham does this again 8 chapters later. Genesis 20, verse 1. Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev, and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while, he stayed in Gerar. And there, Abraham said of his wife Sarah, she's my sister. Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. Abraham, what? What? How did we not figure this out, that this plan doesn't, this just doesn't work? It's just quite simply never going to play out the way that you want it to. It just baffles me. And that's poor Sarah. Can you imagine? So this situation in chapter 20 plays out, you know, exactly the same way. In verse 3, God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, you are as good as dead because of the woman you've taken. She's a married woman. So Abimelech, just like Pharaoh, says to Moses, to Abraham. He says to Abraham, why did you lie to me and all this stuff? Put me in danger. Can you imagine Sarah, that drive home, that chariot ride home from, you know, Pharaoh's palace or Abimelech's palace, and Abraham goes and picks her up? And the first one, the one with Pharaoh, would have been bad enough. I mean, there must have been so much silent animosity in his life for just months and months on end. Incredibly deserved silent animosity from Sarah. And then he did it again. I can't even with Abraham. And this plan, this half-baked plan, and I'm not going to go into it. This is, again, this story, it's all so much. Abraham has a son, Isaac. Isaac enacts this exact same plan with his wife in his life. So Abraham passes his poor planning on to his son, which is, you know, Abraham is just, everyone near him is suffering the collateral damage on his poor planning. But listen here. This is what I want to talk to you about today. Planning. I feel like sometimes this is what our plans kind of sound like to God. Half-baked, not factoring in everything because we don't know everything. We only know what's in front of us. We can only solve the problems that we know about. So while it's easy for us to look at this plan and go, this was such a terrible plan from the start, this was never going to work, I feel like sometimes that's the situation God is in. I want to be honest with you guys in this moment, because I know a lot of people are going through this as well, but I am currently unemployed. You know, you make a plan for your life that you think like, oh, this is kind of my, I've never been like a real detailed planner. So I wasn't like, oh, in 5 years I'll be here, in 10 years I'll be here, in 15 years I'll be here. But I kind of had a general direction that I saw my life going. And then everything that happened with this COVID-19 pandemic happened and I find myself unemployed. And you, it's moments like this that you think like, boy, this was just nowhere in my plans. And that's where you get worried. I think that's like the sense of anxiety that comes over some of us in these situations. I know it's come over me at different points of like, I did not plan on this at all. There's nowhere in my mind that I thought, oh, and then at this point, I'll lose my job and I'll become unemployed. And stuff like that gets interjected. And it, to me, there's a bit of comfort in knowing that, you know, your best plans don't factor in so many things that you don't know are going on. You know, even your plans that work out, sometimes you look back on it and you're like, oh, we didn't account for this and this and this and this. And those things all lined up and this worked out great. So in moments, maybe this is a moment for you right now where you're in a similar thing of like, wow, all my kids are at home. My job situation looks a lot different than I thought it was going to, that I was planning on it looking like at this moment. You know, how does this affect our next couple years? You know, these are all conversations we're having. We're talking about our son going to kindergarten next year and what plans have been affected by all this. Again, when we lay out our plans in their best version, I think sometimes they sound like Abraham's plan. They're incomplete. They don't factor in everything that needs to be factored in. They're not accounting for all the things that need to be accounted for. So I encourage you in those moments, you know, it's important to have goals. It's important to have aspirations. But it's also moments like that that I think we can rest in knowing that God is working something together. God is always in the business of redeeming things. And that's the plan that we are all on in the grander sense. And we can trust that and we can lean into that. Even when our, you know, X's and O's plan doesn't go exactly like we wanted it to. Maybe you end up unemployed. Maybe your wife ends up captured by a foreign king because you lied and said she was your sister. It happens to the best of us. The lying about your sister thing doesn't happen to a lot of us. But, you know, Abraham, by and large, was seemed to be a really good guy. So whatever situation, whatever way your plan has gone sideways, you can rest easy knowing that God was working something together here. God redeemed these situations that Abraham got his family into due to poor planning on his part. Maybe you didn't even plan poorly. Maybe you just didn't account for a variable like a global pandemic that who could have. But it's comforting to me to know that God redeems these situations, whether we plan the best we possibly could have, whether we didn't plan super great because we didn't see some things that we had some blind spots to. God's always in the business of redeeming situations and turning them into the good. So that's my encouragement for you today. And that has been this episode of the Bible is Funny podcast. Hey, you can connect with me on Instagram at The Bible Is Funny if you haven't done that yet. And you can send me questions there if there's like a story you want us to cover. We've got like a list of stories that we're going to cover. But if there's one in particular that you think is really funny, that's what I want to hear about. I love hearing that stuff. I've heard from people that will say things like, you've really affected my mind when I'm reading the Bible and I see these funny like verses and parts all the time. That's what I'm talking about. That's the stuff I want to hear from you guys. So connect with me on Instagram. Love to see you over there. Leave a comment on the podcast. I know you comment on podcasts, but I'm not exactly sure. Full disclosure, I don't think I've ever commented on a podcast, but I encourage you to do it. Do it on this one. Comment what you thought about this podcast. And we'll see you next time. Later, friends.